This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We got the roundtable here for the episode. Hopefully, you've all been waiting for our final mock draft, and it's going to be all four of us, Ian, Tom, Paul, and myself. What's going on, Tom? You ready to go?
I am ready. I'm ready, and I can't wait to see how this pans out.
Yeah, and Paul is on board for our 374th mock draft. No, actually, I think it's our 14th mock draft. And I know you're ready.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah. And, shout out to the Ramley.
And Ian, this is the first time you've done a mock draft with us, but I'm sure you're pretty well seasoned on the first few rounds, right? You ready to go too?
I am ready to go. And gentlemen, it's draft week. Man, oh man, is this week going to be incredibly impactful for the near future, right? The Stafford window we keep talking about, and even the post-Stafford era. I mean, golly, this is a big week for Rams football for many reasons, and I'm excited to see what we're going to do.
For all of you guys watching or watching on YouTube, Ian is in the Rams draft house. He got there early, and he's in one of the back rooms. He snuck in to film stuff.
I'm an LA native. You know, I'm not too far from Hermosa, and after work, I was like, let me go stop by. I had a long weekend celebrating some good things with friends. I was like, let me see what's going on there. Doors was open. Decided to set myself up, and we'll film here. You know,
perfect.
the janitorial staff may be chasing you out any moment, though, right?
I know. You know what I mean? Look, if I can talk to Kroenke, I think he'll be okay with me being in here for a little bit. And, hey, rocking the Super Bowl jersey. You know, I see some Super Bowl gear in the back there. And, man, let's get another one based off this draft, huh?
Let's do it. Okay, so what we're going to do this episode is we're going to go all seven rounds. The first few rounds, we're going to discuss and decide amongst us who the Rams draft pick should be. And as we get deeper into the draft, we may just start taking turns. We'll see how it goes. No rules. We didn't rehearse this, just shared some ideas on how this might go down. And let's do it. I'm going to share this mock draft database and hit set for seven rounds. And we'll kick it off. We'll see how it goes. And if it goes off, as we've done in the past, if it goes off really unrealistic, we'll just restart it. But let's see. We're kicking it off. Let's go. And you can see the pick scroll across the top there. Saw some wide. I think I just saw Brian Thomas go already. And I'll keep you guys on the pod abreast. We're going to reject all trades, by the way. We're just going to go with the picks the Rams have. And for you listeners, I'll share the top players for you. Still available. Dallas Turner, the edge rusher. Brock Bowers, the tight end. Cornerbacks, Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold still there. And then Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher, Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman, and Talise Fuaga. And I'll leave it at that. There are some really good options there. Not sure if those top two guys would still be there, but I'm not sure the Rams would be interested in them. What are you thinking, Paul? What do you think of this board right now?
I'm loving this board right now. So, I mean, there's so many different options here between Iron Byron. You got Latu. You got Dallas Turner. So there are a lot of really good options there. You know, Brock Bowers is a phenomenal prospect as well. Integrating him into the office will be the question. We've talked about that, how much trouble they've had integrating the second tight end for the last couple of years. So I don't know how viable that would be. But this board is stacked. If the Rams stumbled onto this, this would be money right here.
Yeah,
gentlemen, if this happened in real life, oh my God. Sorry, Mark. I mean, this is insane. Yeah. If this happened on Thursday, I would be losing my mind in a great way.
Yeah. So we can do Turner.
I mean, anyway, we already said the names. Like, I hope this happens. This is a great spot to be in. Anyway,
and the offensive tackle Fuaga too, man. Yeah.
Should I restart this or should we just ignore those top two or three guys? We've done that in the past.
I think we could roll with it. Let's roll with it. I mean, Yeah.
Well, I think that, I don't know. Ian, on this board, who would you select?
Oh, goodness gracious. So, based off this board, based off the need, based off the Rams' need, I should say, and fighting against probably McVay's quivering excitement that Brock Bowers is there, right? I'm sure he would be watering at the mouth. But I think if I had to choose one player based off this scenario right here, golly, I got to go Laiatu. I just have to do it. I have to do it. Why? Number one, we need edge desperately, clearly. Number two, let's just be honest about it. He's a UCLA guy, easy to market. More people will jump on the Rams and support them. And let's not act like Kroenke and ownership doesn't think of those things with these draft selections. Come on now. Number three, he's the most ready-to-go edge rusher in this draft. At the minimum, I think he'll be a five-sack guy every year, six probably. I think he'd get six every year, minimum. Do we want to do what Jacksonville did when they took Trayvon Walker, number one? Based off, the hope, based off his measurables, based off the athletic freak? Or do we go with the Hutchinson guy who we know is going to be solid at a minimum? And as of right now, Hutchinson's better. So I think based off the scenario, could we have gone Dallas Turner based off the measurables? Sure. I know a lot of people like Chop Robinson based off the athletic and the measurables. Sure. But I want to go with the guy who's going to help us win now, who I know can start right when he walks in the building. And He's just the best pass rusher. I don't think that's even a question. Laiatu for me.
Okay, that's a very good argument. Very good argument. Tom, how do you feel about it, Tom?
Yeah, I'm with Ian. I'm on Latu. Brian Murphy would be a close second. I mean, I love these cornerbacks, obviously, but I mean, we already made our bed with the corners. We have desperate needs in other places. We have the best, you know, in my opinion, the best edge here. I'm already on record as saying Dallas Turner is going to drop. And according to this mock he just did, he's going to be the guy in the room sitting there going, what just happened? But yeah, I mean, I you know what? I'd take Dallas Turner all day. If we were going to the Olympics and he could do the, he could do the triple jump and he could do the high jump and he could do all those things, I'll take Dallas Turner all day long. The dude, the dude can bring it in the Olympics.
I know.
But now in the measurables, but we're playing some football here and Latu's got the, Latu's got the package. He started, you know, he started all his games at UCLA. I don't think the neck thing's as big of a deal as other people think it is. And to get the best edge rusher in the draft at number 19 is really, quite frankly, unheard of. So I'm going with Latu. Mm.
Okay, Paul, your opportunity to get Latu off the Rams here. If you feel like there's another player and I back you up on it, we can have a extend our argument. How are you feeling? Is there someone else you'd like other than Latu in this spot?
Well, I mean, there's three players, but I mean, let me think. Latu makes a lot of sense. You get edge is the primary position. You get it handled this early in the draft. It opens up options, so many options. If this actually did happen, the board fell like this, the Rams would definitely trade back because you trade back four spots, five spots. You're still going to walk away with the player you want. But yeah, I think Latu makes a lot of sense. The fact he's a UCLA player, like Ian said, you know, we have spoken about that. Guys from USC, UCLA, Rams have to do a better job of bringing them in. Fans love that. It's really between Iron Byron and Latu, really, in this scenario of who's going to have the best impact. You can always get D line in the next round or, you know, wide receiver, however they want to attack it. But I think Latu makes a lot of sense. We're going to assume the medicals came back okay. Latu is the most pass rush ready. He's got the counter moves. He's got the primary moves. He plays with a high motor. At this point, apart from the medicals, there's no real negative to taking Latu.
Okay, so I have three reasons why I'm in agreement with you guys. And one of them, Paul, you stole my thunder. We've done this enough times to know that there are going to be defensive linemen available in the second and third round that we were really excited about as well. Edge, not so much. The second thing you guys already mentioned, he's ready to play at the NFL level, I think. And the third thing, I was thinking about this the last couple of days when I look at this group of players. Who would you most be disappointed the most with if Seattle or San Francisco were to draft one of these guys? And to me, it's Latu. If Latu ended up on one of those teams, I would not be happy. If they got a cornerback or a tight end or Dallas Turner, I could get over that. But Latu, I just see him as being an impact player for many years. So I guess we all agree. That surprises me. But the picks are two. The picks Latu.
Especially given how much how many choices we had, including Dallas Turner.
And real quick, to Paul's point about the trade back, 100% that's what would probably happen. I agree. If this how the draft unfolded by our pick 19, I mean, because we can acquire, let's say, maybe an extra third, an extra second, maybe an extra.
Yeah, Dallas at 24. Think about that. Like, Dallas sitting at 24. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see that happening. I mean, Quinion Mitchell, let's just be honest about him for a second. He's easily the best corner. I mean, Rams would be tempted to get him because like we've talked about the future of the corner position being, you know, shaky. Williams on a 2-year deal. You know, if things don't go well with Tre'Davious White, it's only a 1-year deal. And he would be a starter. He would compete probably to supplant Tre'Davious White, truthfully, if we were to draft him. And he would be somebody that would be highly considered based off the need and the future needs. I mean, hey, like I said, more options, better problems for the Rams. And we'll see if something like this happens on Thursday. But wow.
Okay, I'm going to make the selection. Here we go. We have drafted Latu, and we will press on to the 52nd pick. I was expecting a better argument than that, but hey, that's okay.
And while we wait for this to get going here, with Latu and the neck issue, I mean, guys, Are we trying to hope he's a great player for 15 years? Or are we trying to win another Super Bowl within the next 3 years?
Exactly.
In this window, that's true. Right? And I've heard the
you argument. You want to take advantage of that rookie contract. That's the whole idea. You're absolutely right. Get two or three shots at it.
And I just think Laiatu Latu gives us the best chance today, this season, and the next to be able to get that bowl with Stafford under contract, right? And a cup and whoever else, a Haven signed. And so, you know, the other veterans that are on the squad. Anyone else? We got to hope. We don't got to hope with Laiatu Latu. If all things are healthy in the neck, right? That's the point. So, okay.
We are on the 52nd pick. I'll read off some of the top players here for those listening. Interior offensive lineman, Zach Frazier. Offensive tackle, Kingsley Suamataya. Wide receiver, Xavier Leggett. I know a lot of people love him. Linebacker, Peyton Wilson. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what I think Paul alluded to as well. Two defensive linemen, Braden Fisk and Chris Jenkins, staring at us in the face here. Running back, Jonathan Brooks. And another defensive lineman, Michael Hall. So some good options there. Now, if there's a position any of you would like me to filter by to make sure we're not missing someone maybe a little bit lower that you'd be interested in, or I think I know who I would pick in this spot. You want me to go first?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I think Braden Fisk just fits what the Rams have been doing for the last several years. A guy that really stood out at the Senior Bowl, a difference maker. They need defensive linemen so bad. Now, I'd be tempted to go wide receiver. I don't feel strongly about this. I can be talked out of it. But off the top of my head, looking at this group, Chris Jenkins would be a great option too. But I'm going to say Braden Fisk, and I don't feel, again, real strongly about it. Tom, you want to go next? Who are you thinking about?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a Chris Jenkins over Braden Fisk guy for sure. Like, I think, there's a lot of people that have him as the third defensive lineman after Murphy and Newton. And I'm in agreement. I mean, that guy just blows it up. He played at the highest level. I may see Fisk did too. But, yeah, boy, if we could get Latu and Jenkins, wow. Everything else would be gravy almost, like, you know, so, cause you got to hit those early picks. So 100% Jenkins for me.
Okay. I'm trying to mix up the order here. Let's have Paul go next and we'll have Ian wrap things up at the end here.
The two choices for me would have been, between, Leggett and Jenkins. Jenkins is definitely the number three D tackle. No question about it. And for what the Rams need, Jenkins fits the bill. And you need somebody strong on that side, because that's the run-heavy side, because the conductor's probably going to take AD's spot. So that's why – and Jenkins' strength is playing the run, and as his pass rush skills develop. So I think Jenkins is the fit. Getting the X-man and taking care of that wide receiver scenario – he would be the perfect fourth wide receiver to bring in. Think about it. He's not going to argue about getting all these touches. He's a big physical receiver. He's working on his routes and everything else. Coach Yarbrough will do work with this kid. And this kid is probably – a lot of people don't realize he was in a vicious motorcycle accident. And at one point, he had gravel embedded in his face. And just putting on the helmet was excruciating. And people have not talked about – how tough that receiver is. And I'll go on record to say, I'll go on record as saying that the X-Man is no joke. And if he winds up on the Rams, Coach Yarbrough is going to turn that kid into an all-pro. So, but I'm a defensive guy, so I'm going to go Jenkins.
Okay, two for Jenkins. I said Fisk, but I was kind of vanilla on it. What do you got, Ian?
Man, let me see the entire D-line group. I'm curious if there's somebody. I just want to see who's available.
So we got Fisk, Jenkins, Michael Hall, Rook, or Horohoro.
Yeah, you can keep it at the top right there. Yeah, you can keep it at the top there. I was just curious to see everybody there.
Even Wingo down there, 105 ranked player overall. Wingo. Yeah.
I do like the Clemson guy, Rook, as well. I like this film as well.
Rook is a beast.
Okay, perfect. Okay, have that in mind. Do me a favor. Go to the wide receiver. I'm just curious.
wide receiver Leggett, Jalen McMillan, Javon Baker, Devontae Walker.
Go ahead, scroll down a little bit more for me. Let me see here.
So there, there's the argument for Leggett. Look at the drop off at wide receiver. Yeah. Leggett's the last one in the top 50. Yep. And then you could still pick up a quality DT in round three. So there's the argument that somebody could make for Leggett. Either way, they're both valid arguments. Fisk is a great pickup as well. So,
yeah, for me, based on the board here, and exactly, Paul just stole the words out of my mouth. I was going to say the exact same thing. My argument's going to be Xavier Leggett. Why? Let's just look at the roster, configuration of us. Tutu Atwell on an expiring deal. Ben Skowronek on an expiring deal. DeMarcus Robinson on an expiring deal. Cooper Kupp, we don't know the health if that's going to work out for a full season. It's been a while, right? And because of that, because of replenishing that's going to be eventually need to be had very, very soon in this draft or, you know, free agency and so forth, I'm going to say Xavier Leggett. Now, what is good about him? I mean, he uses his size fantastic. Fantastic. He's very capable at any of the blocks that are going on in the run game, be able to fight off defenders, get open. I mean, he runs solid routes. To Paul's point earlier, I mean, Coach Yarb is going to transform him. All that raw skill he has, he's going to get refined beautifully in this offense. So based off all that, based off how much that drop-off there is, my argument Xavier Leggett for the now and the future.
Let's take a look to see if we can get Paul or Tom to change their mind. Let's look at what defensive linemen we might have available if we wait on defensive linemen. There's some guys that could really contribute. We could get two guys later on. Paul, Tom, are you steadfast in defensive line, Jenkins?
I mean, I am. I think that if we can get, in my mind, the number one edge and the number three defensive lineman, and after all of those conversations we had going through the depth chart and everything else, right, we need to plug those holes, man, and they got to be ready to roll. We can't be, oh, my God, we ran into a third rounder that happened to be great, like Kobe or Byron.
And, okay, so –
I'm just feeling like, you know, and I'm not, and I like Leggett, but like, I don't think he's like going to be a massive difference maker, you know, like some superstar or whatever, like in a like a Rome or somebody. So, you know, if we're talking, having this conversation about one of the top guys, then yeah, you know, but I just don't think we are.
Okay. This is what we're going to do then. And unless Paul is changing his mind, we're going to take Jenkins here. And I'm going to give intern Ian the opportunity at any point to overrule everybody and make an ensuing pick. Is that fair?
Hey, Mark, no, what was your pick? Hey, Mark, what was your pick? Pardon? Oh, Fisk. Okay, got it.
It was Fisk.
Yeah.
It was Fisk.
Okay. So I don't want to. We could probably discuss this for an hour.
I'm in favor of that being the D lineman from Michigan, Chris Jenkins. I have no problem with that. I just think just based off the wide receiver need that will eventually just come to pass, just based off the reality we live in,
yeah.
I think we'll get, and the drop-off after that is so significant. Because I think hopefully we'd be able to get the Rook Orobro. Sorry, I can't say his full name correctly ever. I would be happy.
Welcome to my world.
We'll see what happens. I know. But I have no issue in agreement with everybody.
Okay.
So community join.
Oh, then I retract my offer of letting you.
We talk it out here. That's how we do it. We talk it out.
It's good. I agree. I think it's a good point Paul made and Ian made about Leggett. I just don't think he's that much of a difference maker to say, you know what, let's forego the number three DL. In favor of, you know, getting a guy that could be, you know, the next, I don't think he's a lock for the next, you know, wide receiver superstar in the Rams.
I think the other way you could look at it is if we're going all in to win today, who is going to give us the best chance to win today?
100%. And if you make,
from that argument, then you have to go. You got to go big dog.
Yeah. Okay,
YOLO, Ian, YOLO.
That's right. No, I totally agree. That was just more of like just more no, of a, good, shoot, who's yeah, a draft player. Okay.
But, no, it's a good alternative.
But Ian keeps that wild card in his back pocket. He can make a pick. Sure. So we'll go ahead and draft a Jenkins, and we have I think we'd be pretty happy with this right here, Latu and Jenkins, and
I would
feeling
be.
A little ooh. Feeling a little bit better about our defense.
Look at that. They even give us an A plus on the board.
Nice. Yeah. No, I feel good about it. There's no doubt.
When
about
we get A pluses, we draw attention to it. When we get C minuses, we minimize the screen.
Then what do they know?
And the most important thing is that Ram Nation gets to hear the rationales for every pick. That's the key.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got important. This on all still.
And there's Rook.
There we go.
There's there's Rook. Now you could go a lot of different ways here. I'm going to throw out some positions. You know, I still think we need interior offensive line depth. I think we need a safety. You can never have enough cornerbacks or wide receivers. Let's take a look at wide receivers and. I don't know if there's anybody. Luke McCaffrey is there a little bit later.
Yeah, Brendan Rice, just to piss off 49er fans and keep an LA guy in town. That's definitely on the board for sure. The Rams would probably consider that.
Safeties, Jaden Hicks and Cameron Kitchens. Hicks,
that's the dude right there, man.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Does anyone want to?
Let's look at edge too. I'm curious to see who's there. But go ahead and read the top.
I forgot to read off the top for listeners. The top four guys are Rook Ohorohoro, defensive line out of Clemson, Braylon Trice, edge out of Washington, Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State, and Patrick Paul, the offensive tackle out of Houston. You wanted to look at edge?
Yeah, I was just edge.
Curious. If we drafted Jonah Ellis, that would quiet down the YouTube channel comment section for a few days. But let's not do that.
Okay, right, so let me just ask the group: what is our? Yeah. Okay, we have our edge, right? We have an edge. We got Byron across. We're good. We fill the gap on the defensive line. What's our next biggest? If we were looking at need, what would be our next biggest need? What did we identify?
Well, in my opinion, it's offensive line depth. I don't think we need to draft anybody that's going to start. We need an interior offensive lineman that can back up a couple positions. Then maybe safety, maybe another defensive lineman as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
those are my thoughts. You know, you can disagree with me.
Can you go back to the all board. Yeah, so we're looking at so we got a defensive lineman, another edge.
Whew. What are you thinking, man. Paul? You're quiet over there. You must have something in your back pocket.
If you want to win in this league, you got to the way to win is you got to dominate up front. And I'm bringing in another big dog. I'm going O-Row. That's how you say it. And I'm putting that big dog next to Jenkins. Oh, I'm putting the conductor on the other side. I'm telling Latu, go get it. I'm telling Monster Zero, go get it. I'm saying, listen, when we come after it, it's going to result either in a sack or a rush throw. We're going to control the line of scrimmage. Nobody will be able to run on us either. And we're gonna let the offense do its thing and light up the scoreboard like a pinball machine.
I couldn't agree more. If we could end up with Rook and and Jenkins and
let the board come to you. And at this point, the board has fallen in their favor, man. Think about that rotation. Look what the rotation would look like. And Mark, remember when we did this. We did Iron Byron and Chris Jenkins, the first two picks. And remember what that draft looked like? That mock was ridiculous. So if you think about it, we would have Rook, Chris Jenkins, the conductor, Bobby Brown, and then you throw in two other bodies, whatever they are. Man, I could rock and roll with them. You might even put Michael Hoyt, let him play some end. There you go.
Okay, Ian, you in disagreement here? You got a different idea?
Nope, no different idea because this is the exact scenario I was hoping for. If we had taken Leggett, right? So, I just think based off everything my our friends of everyone here said, I mean, geez Louise, this is the group we need the most of, right? And the more the better, because Bobby Brown will be leaving. Speaking of an expiring deal and someone who hasn't played a lot due to health, other reasons. And I just think the more we can get good players that are in that top five, top six category of the class, the better off we'll be. So Rook from Clemson, I think that's the way we should do it.
Okay, before we do that, I'm not opposed. I want to look at the safety, what's on the board here. There's still some good players. We can get one later. An interior offensive line. I think there's some guys there that Paul likes.
And by the way, Jaden Hicks, that dude playing center field for the Rams, woof, dude is a beast. He and Curl, man, that would be just straight fire.
We need a safety. East isn't going to look at it.
Okay, so and Rook is the highest guy on the board, and we're drafting him.
The big dog.
This is
the Nigerian Nightmare Part 2.
This is the 83rd pick overall, by the way.
Nice.
And then we have another one at 99, courtesy of Raheem Morris. And I think we're done with defensive line for a little while, I hope. And we have let's look at our selection so far. We've really improved our up front here on defense for a couple years, perhaps. And we haven't picked an offensive player yet. And the top players on the board are a wide receiver, Jalen McMillan, a running back, Marshawn Lloyd, safety, Cameron Kitchen, safety, Kalen Bullock, and linebacker, Jeremiah Trotter. What are you guys thinking here? You want me to do any filtering for a position? We're due to draft someone on offense, aren't we?
Yeah.
Or do we look at it like that?
Let's take a look at wide receiver. Let's do it. Let's see what's available here.
So we got McMillan, Burton, Washington, Wilson, Rice, Cowing, Thrash, and McCaffrey, and Anais Smith. I mess his first name up every time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mark, this is number 83. What are we picking now?
This is 99. This is the end of the third round.
This is 99. Then the one after 99 is what? 150, right?
I think we have the back-to-back 154, 155 in the fifth round.
Okay, so 99, gentlemen.
It's really sad when you back 150. It's really sad when you've memorized all the picks.
Yeah. Hey, that's real Ram work right there, baby. Come on.
I can't remember my wife's birthday,
let's look at some safety too while we're at it. I'm curious to see what that group looks like.
Yeah, I agree.
So Cameron Kitchens, Kalen Bullock, Dadrian Taylor Demerson is a guy I like. Tyke Smith is one of Paul's Puka Power picks. Is Malik Mustafa one of your guys too, Paul?
Yep, Mustafa is as well.
And Sione Vaki. Don't get Paul started on Sione Vaki. Go Braid.
That's our backup running back, man.
Yeah, Trey Taylor is Ed Reed's cousin, by the way. I learned that last night.
Hey, can you go up to the top there? Camera, who we got? Kitchens?
Kitchens, Bullock, Taylor, Demerson. Now, the word on Bullock, I think what I've gathered from doing this several times is he's not necessarily a tackling machine. That would be a concern with him. Is that accurate, Paul?
Yeah, that's been the knock on him. But you know what? The kid is a big play machine, and they let him play center field for that reason. A lot like Jalen Simpson from Auburn, same way, you know, a tall, wiry kid. But, you know, same thing. Kalen, you know, hits the weight room, the good NFL food, you know, the kid's going to put on weight, but the kid makes big plays, and that's what McVay and Ashulo are probably looking for in the back end. They're going to let Curl be aggressive, but you need somebody to patrol that deep middle. So Bullock and Kitchens both, I think, would be good fits. You know, Bullock, though, like I said, you know, Kitchens didn't have a great workout. A lot of people were, like, down him. But Kitchens, before the combine, Kitchens was in the top 50. He was ranked the top safety in a lot of people's boards. So
interesting.
Okay.
And he is a beast of a player as well.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with you. I mean, he's dropped. Sometimes these guys that drop, they get that inertia and they keep going down, and then all of a sudden they're just a great pick. I mean, what pick are we at? What round are we in?
99th pick overall, end of the third round. This is the Raheem Morris comp pick.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, he's third round all day long. And I mean, that'd be a nice pickup. I just, the Rams, you know, I guess we're looking at what we would do. The Rams certainly. What was the last safety they drafted in the third round?
Wrap in a second. Go ahead, Ian.
I'm going to put that vote for Cameron Kitchens. I sat here and thought about it. This is totally a Shula-esque move. He's the one who battles for safeties. And look at Cameron Kitchens, first team all ACC. So the dude can play some ball, right? I mean, he tied, I think, Division I football with 5 interceptions. So he's getting to the ball, getting takeaways, which is, we need that, right?
Think about it. It would be a nice change of pace for our safeties to get to the ball.
Right. And then he was tied, I think, he was one of the best in the nation with pass breaks of pickups as well. All things that we need more of. And Shula being a safety guy who fought the table to get John Johnson, who fought the table late to get Jordan Fuller at pick 199 once upon a time. So I can see him doing the same thing here, especially if he's still up there late in the third. So my vote based off coaching, based off his play, the value, I'm going to go with Cameron Kitchens here.
Okay, we got a vote for Kitchens.
Kitchens, sorry, I keep saying Kitchens.
Yeah, that's fine. What are you thinking, Paul?
For me, it's going to be I'm thinking I want to take a running back to pair with Iron Kyren. And we've been doing this. I've been taking Lloyd or the other kid's gone already, but there, you know, Wright is the other one. But, you know, he's flying up the boards. So I just think for the value to get a running back like Marshawn Lloyd at pick number 99, I don't think he'll be there in 99, tell you honestly. But for all the things that we've been talking about in that ground game, sort of to force McVay's hand to run the ball a little bit more, Lloyd does everything that complements Iron Kyren. He could bounce it to the outside, and when he gets it to the outside, it's a track meet. I know there are somebody was sending me all these negatives about Marshawn Lloyd. I'm like, yeah, but those are the same negatives they said about Puka too, right? And they always find something to say. The bottom line is when Marshawn Lloyd gets the ball to the outside, it's a wrap. We don't need him to carry the ball 300 times. We need him to supplement Iron Kyren, especially just as like we're saying, we're taking it 1 year at a time. You know, I think he's the kind of back that would be willing to sit behind Iron Kyren. And listen, every time there's no drop-off. Iron Kyren goes to the sideline. This kid spells him. There's no drop-off. Defense got to stay on its toes. How many teams could say that? And with this passing game, and you want to protect Matt Stafford, the best way to protect him is with a neck-snapping ground game. And also, let's take advantage of that front that we spent so much money on. Let's do it with a two-headed monster.
Okay, we got two. So we have
I get it.
We have an argument for the safety, an argument for the running back. And Tom, where are you coming down on this?
Yeah, can we look at the offense of the O-line or the tackles?
The tackles?
Yeah.
Christian Jones, Matt Goncalves, Javon Foster, Walter Rouse. Goncalves is one of Paul's Puka Power picks. Christian Jones.
From Long Island.
Yeah, those guys are later round picks though. So there's nobody there. I mean, I think the to me, we if you look at the highest highest need plus best value on the board, it's Kitchens, right? We need another safety. We don't technically need another running back, and we can get another one later in the, if we needed a star running back right now, if we were rocking with pissed off Cam Akers, I'd be like, okay, let's roll. But we don't need that. We don't need a number one running back. We're going to get a starting safety to play next to Cam, and we need it bad. Like, we don't have anybody to play back there with right now, and that's just how it is. So
yeah,
I'm all about Kitchens in this pick for that reason.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the safety too, Paul. I just don't know if Marshawn Lloyd is really going to get the ball. The reason I would draft him is as insurance if Kyren gets injured, which is, he does get banged up. He's missed a lot of games. So I have to apologize, Paul. I'm going to side with these guys. Kitchens, yeah.
Kitchens fits the center field model. And like I said, he was a top 50 pick at the beginning of the draft. The kid is a beast. Kid is an absolute playmaker.
Yeah, well, so we're going to go double Cameron at the safety, right? Cameron Curl, Cameron Kitchens.
Cameron Cam.
Oh, boy.
That's just how it's going to go.
Okay. So you're okay with that, Paul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm defense. If it was up to me, every pick would be defense.
Okay, so that's the pick. We've gone four defense, and I should give
Paul rounds five through seven. Rounds five through seven are for the offense.
Let's see how
so that's our pick so far.
Look at shout out to the database here giving us the nice grades. I mean, I would feel that way too if this is how it actually unfolded. I mean, we address all the spots that we're hoping to, you know, not feel worrisome about, right? And gosh, those are all starting caliber players in the first three rounds. I think
you can go offense, you can go wide receiver, running back now. Because 154, 155 in this, with this draft engine anyway, every time we have done it, 154, 155 has had quality players.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Tom?
No, I would just say that we're just filling gaps that we need. And this would be
immediate contributors
in areas that we need. It's not like, oh, they're going to compete for the job. There's going to be a, these guys are, if they're as good as advertised, they got a spot. We need them there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and the only reason we're getting a B-plus here from our experience with this database is because we already drafted a defensive lineman. If we had drafted a different position at 52, they probably would have given us an A-plus for Rook there, if you care. So we're back.
We're doing
to
great. The, forget them.
Yeah, yeah.
whoever them no, is over there.
No summer school for us.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got we're on the 100 and we got back to back here, 154 and 155. And the top rated players for you listeners, Cam Hart, the cornerback, Gabriel Murphy, edge, Jacob Cowing, wide receiver, Jarvis Brownlee, cornerback. And Marquise Irving, he goes by Bucky. Is that the running back out of Oregon? I don't know where to go here. Is there some, I don't think we want to go cornerback or edge here at the top, or do we?
Gabriel Murphy is intriguing though. I'll tell you that though, for him being around at this time.
That's the UCLA bookends all over again, right?
I mean,
oh, that's right.
Hey, so that's intriguing right there. He was obviously an honorable mention for all Pac-12 team. He had 8 sacks as well. And they could say, oh, that's a Latu effect, right? But he was productive. I mean, shoot. So that's intriguing. This is, you know, right off the bat, just seeing that name. And then I guess who's that running back now? Because that is something to always draft and always be on the lookout for.
And wide receiver. Take a look at wide receiver and running back. Yeah. McCaffrey. If McCaffrey's there, we should go McCaffrey. Ah, darn it. All right.
Taj. All right. And then let's see what running back again.
Yeah, the wide receivers are Cowan, Thrash, and Anaya Smith. Taj Washington out of USC. What was the other position, Ian? Running back?
Running back. Yeah, let's see what, let's see who's there for that one right
there. Oh, Tyrone Tracy.
Oh, you just talked about him, didn't you?
Yeah.
And Dylan Lobby, Kamani Vidal, Blake Watson.
Scroll down a little bit more. Let's see.
Dylan Johnson, Jace McClellan, Dejon Edwards, Kendall Milton, Frank Gore Jr., another 49er connection.
Bucky Irving right there?
Yeah, Bucky Irving's the top rated running back.
Oh, man. That would be see, I'm all about him. I don't know. I mean, I did not plan on going running back this early, but how about the, can we just, let's just focus on what we just, or I'm sorry, just look at what we were kind of came in here with our shopping list. Let's look at that offensive tackle depth real quick, if you don't mind.
You want to talk about the board, offensive tackle board just, here?
Yeah, let's just see who's on the offensive tackle there.
Goncalves, Javon Foster.
They really drop fast, don't they?
Garrett Greenfield is a guy that we have mocked to the Rams a couple of times. Probably a little early for him.
Yeah, it's very early for him. There's really nobody Goncalves.
Yeah, he's very reminiscent of Havenstein.
Who's that? Which
The kid from Pitt.
Goncalves.
Yeah, Goncalves, I think he's an intriguing prospect. I like him. I think right now
it's pretty early, isn't it?
Yeah, he needs an offensive punch somewhere. I was hoping McCaffrey was going to be around. He would have been perfect for this slot.
Yeah, I would have agreed with that selection if he was around as well. Yeah.
Can you go to interior offensive line real quick?
According to this board, Goncalves is, you know, he's 132nd ranked player on this board, and we're at 154. So
yeah, he got injured. That hurt his ranking this year. He got injured. He missed a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
This is interior offensive line.
Yeah, interior. Hunter Norzad. Paul drafted him just last night. Layden Robinson is on his Puka Power picks. Both of them are all these guys, these top four guys. This is right about where they would get drafted. Isaiah Adams out of Illinois. Satua Lamia out of Utah. You know, that's
they're Hunter all right in this. Hunter solves three spots, both guards and center. That's what he can play. With great efficiency.
Yeah, and the point I've been trying to make is, I know it's not glamorous to draft interior offensive linemen, but we're a couple, we remember what happened a couple of years ago when our guys started dropping. And if we don't have guys we can plug in, it all falls apart.
This is fifth
the
round.
The philosophy
right?
is to keep Zach Thomas as far away from the starting lineup as possible. That's the rationale for taking the interior alignment.
So I'm going to go on record right now and say, I don't care who, I'm voting for an interior offensive line.
Interior alignment. What's in quarterback? Check corner.
Corner?
Yeah, corner.
Cam Hart, Jarvis Brownlee, Kalen Carson, Jerrion Jones. Our buddy MJ Devonshire is still probably a round away.
Jamari Thrash at wide receiver, too. He's intriguing, too.
I have no problem with going O-line based off of our needs and everything else, gentlemen, if everyone's in agreement with that. I just think based off the depth and not wanting to see a bunch of guys play, right? We want our mega monster mash unit to be able to go out there and maul everybody. We don't want to see anybody else, but in case somebody does have to fill in, we hope that they're capable. So. I have no problem going O-line here, if you guys decide, truthfully.
And Paul, you're Goncalves can't play interior, though. He's strictly a tackle.
He can play guard. I mean, he's huge. He's 6'6", 330. He's played right guard a little bit. But here's the thing. You got Noteboom as your tackle depth. So if you do have interior depth, that keeps Noteboom away from having to play inside and keeping him for your tackle depth if you need to. But
after that, what, McClendon?
Yeah, yeah, that, after that, you're in dire straits.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, like, you know, most likely the Rams would fill that spot with a veteran anyway, but you have to draft. You know, to me, centers are like running backs. You got to take one every year because you need them, right? You need them. And the fact that kid can play three spots to me just makes him uber valuable. Okay. I'm going Hunter Norzad.
Okay, I'm on board with that. Tom, are you?
Yeah, 100%. That's my pick too. I think this is fifth round, right, Mark?
Yeah, we got back to back here too. We got the next pick as well.
Yeah, I mean that guy is. We got two picks here. Wow. Yeah. So I mean that guy is. He's rated in the, you know, kind of a fourth round guy. So I think that's a good pickup.
You okay with that, Ian?
Yep. Like everything I said a couple minutes ago, I'm on board with that. We need people that can play and help out if needed.
Okay, that's the pick. And we have an immediate, immediately have the next pick, and we can go glamorous here. We got, well, let's look at our picks here. What do we have? We have edge, defensive line, safety, interior, offensive lineman. So, you know, the top rated guys.
That is such an anti McVay draft, by the way.
No bling for McVay right yet. No bling.
Yeah, there's no way that happens, truthfully. I mean,
but if you look at how much money the Rams have spent on offense, he really can't complain, right? Because what is it, like 75% of the salary cap is on the offensive side of the ball? It's bananas. That's
exactly right. Yeah.
So if we go back to, I mean, Cam Hart's good, but I don't think he's. There's really nobody here that's jumping off the page, right?
Yeah, the top-rated guys for the listeners are Cam Hart, the cornerback, Gabriel Murphy, edge, Jacob Cowan, wide receiver, Jarvis Brownlee, cornerback, and then Irving, the running back from Oregon, who I think we all kind of like, right?
That's my vote. Bucky Irving's my vote, dude. I can't.
You like Bucky?
If that guy's still there in the fifth round, what we got? Kyren in four or five.
I was the fifth.
Fifth round as well. The same argument that they're using on Bucky, they're saying he's too small, is what they said about Iron Kyren.
Yeah.
That's the same thing they said about him.
I'm all about.
Okay, so we Bucky
can,
for
by the way, Bucky can return kicks.
Yeah, there we go. We need that. I heard, on the last pod, you guys talking about the how, you know, it's going to be a running back kind of oriented running back that can break tackles that is going to be effective at that kickoff return.
I'm in favor of Bucky. What's the one big reason why? Dude's only had one fumble and like 500 carries. Let's not act like that doesn't matter, right? We had the Cam Akers experience where he had a fumble issue. We've had other running backs fumble a ton. Kyren obviously had his one forever too. So we need people to protect the dang rock when they run the ball. And hey, for someone who is maybe not viewed as a receiving back, he does have good hands. He does run out of the backfield well and is able to catch. That's important for a McVay offense, right? And look, he's got a good elusive features based off the film that I've seen from him every now and then. Got a good spin move. And I just think he hits the whole downhill in a hurry, which Oregon runs a lot of gap scheme stuff too, right? It's not just a zone heavy like a lot of college offenses are. So I think for all those reasons, I mean, shoot, I think that pick makes sense.
And he ran everything out of the shotgun, right?
We're going to run a lot of shotgun. Pistol and shotgun goods, man. That's going to be our offense, it feels like. And that's cool with me, as long as it's more pistol. But, yeah, Paul.
And a lot of people overlook that when they look at running backs. It's like, what system are they coming from? Not everybody can run out of the shotgun. Not everybody can run out of the spread, right? Some are more traditional power backs. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think he's a nice complement to Iron Kyren. You know, Iron Kyren, I think, is a little bit more of a black and blue runner. And I think this kid's got a little bit more sizzle to him. And listen, his size is not going to be a detriment because he's the RB2. He's not the RB1. Yeah. And listen, if anything does happen to Iron Kyren, then Bucky and Rivers are going to be the top dogs. So I'll run with Buck.
Okay, three for
Let's give the young buck a try.
Right. I mean, look, at second team all Pac-12. I mean, he led the team in all the rushing yards.
And he can catch. He can definitely catch the rock. He can catch the rock.
Hey, I mean, 6.3 yards per carry. That's nice. That's nice. And for, you know, the third pseudo two running back, I mean, that's cool. Because look, at we always need bodies. Ronnie Rivers and Kyren got hurt last year. We need somebody.
That's right. Insurance.
Let's just keep
it real. Okay. That's the pick then. You guys have spoke.
There we go, McVay. There's your offensive player.
Yeah. So let's take a look at this again. We got the first four defense. Then we went interior offensive line and running back. Ooh. I'm feeling a little bit better about things. We got the safety we needed. We stocked up on the defensive line, maybe addressed the edge. What have we not done? Tight end. We don't know when Hunter Long and or Tyler Higbee are coming back. A backup quarterback. Do we need one? Another tackle, linebacker, just throwing some positions out there. Yeah. Now, we had said that we were going to take turns making picks from here. How do you feel about that? You want to do that, or you want to just press on like we've been doing?
Yeah, I like what we're doing.
Yeah, I think the community one, I think we're all coming to agreement. I think that's been working out not too bad.
Okay.
Working out good, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I think we're done. We're not drafting a second running back. We're not drafting a second safety, I would think. Do you want me to filter by any position here? We got Javon Foster, the offensive tackle. I'm sorry, let me go back to the selection. So what do we have coming up here? We have, these are six-round picks, 196, 209, 213, 217. So we have four picks within 21 selections.
These are 196. Yep, 196 should be Bub Means, wide receiver for Pitt.
Wow.
That's my guy.
You just been waiting on that one, haven't you?
Is he there?
Bub Means is the third rated wide receiver. I know you like wide receivers, Ian. Do you know much about him?
I've only a little bit I've heard from the Puka picks. But yeah. I need to watch more film of him for sure. I mean, that's just the truth, truthfully.
What? One thing I will say, Todd Washington, the more I watch that kid, I would love that guy. But, you know, after everything we went through with our buddy Tutu, you're going to have to make room for him by ejecting Tutu, which is not a bad thing either. But I like that kid, Taj. I know a lot of USC fans want to see him play with the Rams, man.
Yeah.
Because he's a big favorite. A lot of USC fan base love this kid.
He can play T-Dub. For sure. I'm leaning towards him just based off everyone that's available, truthfully, for me.
Can you go back to Hall?
Ian, you said you're leaning towards Taj?
Yeah, at the moment, just based off what we're scrolling through right here, you know?
All, there you are, Foster, Tracy, Simpson, Bell, Robinson.
Foster for the people is actually a good value here, too, at O-Tackle.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is
Corner would be good value here. Wide receiver would be good value here. Even edge would be good value here.
I just think Tracy or Foster, is a really good value. And I think, I'm just looking at my notes. I think, yeah. I mean, that's crazy value, right? I mean, he's kind of like a fourth round guy.
Plays in the SEC.
So we're considering Javon Foster and the two wide receivers. Now,
if you go BPA, it's got to be OT. It's got to be the tackle.
Yeah. And I think Means is going to be there. We have a selection. We have three selections coming up. Taj, I'm not sure. We could miss out on him.
But I'm in agreement with the big boys, man. That's no problem for me. Shoot.
I think Javon.
We want to get an electric wide receiver just to satisfy, have a young body coming in. No, so,
are you wide hedging? Receivers
flew off the board. I mean, it's the committee vote at this point. So I think it's going to come down to Foster. That kid, Tyrone Tracy, was the one. If we didn't take Buck, Tyrone Tracy was that kid, 5'11", 210, former wide receiver, man. That kid is legit. But we already took our running back. So Jalen Simpson can play free safety or corner. He's a big playmaker too. He would be a nice fit for the secondary. Scroll down a bit. Bell is definitely not a good fit for the Rams. Layden Robinson. We have oh, Mount McKinley. Nice. Look at that. Yeah, that's what I see. I think we're good at D-line for now. I think it's going to come down to either Foster or we do get the wide receiver that we want.
Okay, so the receiver, Washington or Means versus
the tackle
Foster. Now I'm going to chime
Simpson,
in
Simpson. You mentioned Simpson. He's another good value at this.
Yeah, really good value.
This late. I mean, he's a fourth-round guy too. And he can play safety and cornerback.
Washington versus Means. I think Means will be there a little bit later. Let's just narrow it down to Washington and Foster.
Washington, Simpson, or Foster. Yep, Washington, Simpson, or Foster.
I'm going to say Foster. That'll be my vote. He was, first team All ACC. He started all his games. Was a team captain. Rams love leadership stuff like that. They like guys who have played a lot of football. I mean, he's been in college.
If he's there in the fifth round, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in college since 2018. He's seen a lot, been through a lot, been a part of the best conference, playing the best athletes. And I just think, based off all that, I just think that pick makes sense for that. What the Rams like, they like leaders, and then plus, we just need more depth at that whole group. So. I think Foster just makes sense. Okay.
That kind of came together for us. It took a little while. Okay, Foster's the pick. And we're going to have another pick here real quickly at
this draft has a lot of beef on it. Screen. That's for sure. There is a lot of meat on the bone, which is a good thing.
What round is this?
Me.
We're in the sixth round. We have four picks in the next three picks in the next eight. Selection, something like that.
I love it.
Nice. And we have not picked a wide receiver. And Taj is still there.
Oh, look at that.
Taj and Bub. And we got to defer to Ian here. Ian, do you want your wide receiver here?
I mean, I just think for the other purposes of, the things that football fans don't like to acknowledge is that, hey, man, when you draft players from the city that you're in, that's such a huge impact on the draw of the fan base to absorb more fans who were tweeners. Maybe you're a fan of a different team, but because you drafted their favorite player at their school that they love watching on Saturdays, right? I think that makes a huge difference. And not only that, Taj had great practice film when he was at the East-West Shrine Bowl doing those weekly practices. Obviously Rams love Senior Bowl guys, and that's important to them too. They take any practices against an all-star game, an exhibition game seriously. Taj had great practices, had a great game. I think based off all that, based off his route running, I just think all that makes sense for why Taj should be the selection. You're killing a bunch of stones, a bunch of birds with one stone, excuse me. And I just think that's the way it's going to roll, truthfully. So, hey.
I'll quickly review the top guys on the board here. McKinley Jackson, Dwight McLaughlin, Gabe Hall, Jalen Ford, Eric All. But I kind of agree. I think we got to go. The Rams are probably going to go wide receiver much earlier than this. And the fact that we haven't yet, I think we need to. So I'm okay with Taj Washington. Any strong opposition to that, Tom or Paul?
We got one UCLA kid, one USC kid. The jersey sales alone will justify the pick.
That sounds good to me.
And listen, he's like the listen. I guarantee it. Tutu's going to get traded before it's not on draft day. It's going to be by week five.
Who's going to get traded?
Tutu's going to get traded. He has no value to the Rams in what he could bring over. Let's say, even if it is a late round pick or whatever it is, or to help move up or move back or whatever they want to do.
I think he's going to be a part of it.
He's going to be part of that package. So,
we'll send Tutu and a seventh round pick for a sixth round pick or something.
Yeah, whatever it's going to be. Yeah. And I think, Taj is a smaller player, but he's different than most of the smaller players. So we do have two now. on the roster with Bucky's a smaller player. Now you got Todd's a smaller player. Todd doesn't fit the usual profile for the Rams, but they, you know, I just think Taj has shown that he can play bigger than his size. He's not afraid of contact. Everything you watch on that kid, people love being around him. You could just see like all the fan excitement around him just shows you the kind of player that he is. I'd be okay with Todd, but Bub is my boy though. Bub from Pitt is my boy though.
He may still be there.
But I'll go with Taj though.
We can double dip. Let's see. We make that selection, and here we are again already. And we can go a lot of different ways here. We might consider cornerback and tight end, in my opinion. The highest rated guys, Gabe Hall.
Yeah, definitely got a good corner.
Yeah, Gabe Hall, defensive line, Jalen Ford, linebacker.
You got B-Jax, there's end. Brennan Jackson.
Yep. Brennan Jackson there. And then two cornerbacks, Kalen King and MJ Devonshire. We haven't talked a lot about Kalen King, but we know we're pretty familiar with MJ Devonshire.
Yeah, Kalen King really fell off the cliff this year. Yeah.
What do you think? What are you thinking here, Tom? You haven't led the way in a bit.
Yeah, I was just looking at these. Linebacker. I mean, I'm just at this point in time, we do have to, you know, we put off all of these positions that we don't draft until the end. Well, we're at the end, so we do have to.
It's kind of like fantasy football when you're like, oh my god, I don't have a kicker yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, right. So what do we have left? We have linebacker, which we do have a need for. You know, so Jalen Ford would be a really good selection in my opinion.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, I was thinking that too.
And we haven't drafted a cornerback yet, so we probably should think about that. And we've really shored up the offensive line that, you know, we haven't drafted a quarterback yet, and I don't think we need to. But so if we go linebacker, as I think our number one need at this point, and then cornerback, that would be my take on it.
Okay, linebackers, yeah. We have Jalen Ford, JT Bertrand, Kalen DeLoach. I'm not familiar with any of them. It's a little bit of Ford. And then cornerbacks, Kalen King, MJ Devonshire, Cha Smith Wade. Even Kamal Haddon is not a viable option too at cornerback.
A lot of people like that kid.
Can you go back to
And at this point, I think you don't worry about if a guy's gonna slide or not. You just take the guy you want.
Can you go back to the ranking. Linebackers real quick?
I'm sorry, linebackers. There you go.
Ford, Bertrand, DeLoach.
Yeah, Jalen Ford does well in coverage, dropping into coverage. He's a good coverage backer. You know, the question on him was, does he play the run especially well? But, you know, think about it. We got Reader, we got Boom, you got Ernest Jones. So Jalen Ford just rounding out that room. I don't think Jalen Ford's a terrible pick. JD Bertrand is more of the classic middle linebacker type. He just does have good feel for space as well. Sermon is the classic coach's son kid, tough as nails, from Cal. So, I mean, Jalen Ford, it's between Jalen Ford and Bertrand, really. It's a matter of taste.
Can you go to the corners real quick again?
It was basically those top three, King, Devonshire, and Smith-Wade. And
we're totally biased when it comes to corners at this point.
I'm going to click on tight ends real quick. I don't know if there's anybody here, Paul, that would be a good fit for this offense.
Barner would be a really good fit. Eric All, he would have been ranked higher. He got hurt. He's coming off an injury. But Eric All gets a lot of accolades. Ton of accolades. Tanner McLaughlin is a real under the radar tight end. He's got good offensive capability. Holker put on a show. I still can't figure out why he's at 200. This kid put on a show at the combine. Not the most physical player in the world, but I mean, that kid put on a show, man. He was catching everything. He was playing like his hair was on fire. So, all Barner, McLaughlin, Holker, all great value there.
What do you think, Ian? Do you have a opinion at this point?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I think Jalen Ford, simply because of the need, right? Roseboom, even though I liked him, I thought he played well. So he's on a 1-year deal. when after that we have a bunch of guys nobody on our fan base likes, even myself.
And Ernest Jones
on an expiring deal too. So right. I mean, that position needs to get addressed. I'm all in favor of Jalen Ford. I mean, hey, multiple year starter, right? Definitely is not the perfect inside linebacker, of course. None of these guys are at this point in the draft, but. I mean, I think he could play. I mean, he's played enough where he was on a really good competitive, defensive unit for the, Texas Longhorns. So I just,
that's the key.
And back to obviously my point of guys who have played a lot of meaningful football, played in big games, are leaders. Snead likes that. McVay likes that. I think they go for it because of all those reasons I said.
Yeah. He played behind Murphy and Sweat then, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tom, you sounded like you were leaning towards Ford.
Yeah, I know.
On board with it.
That's my pick.
So, you okay with that, Paul?
Yep.
You okay with that, Paul?
Yep. If it's defense, I'm on board.
We got our linebacker.
What an easy man to please. I dig it.
And let's go back to our selections
here. Shula's going to get locked out of the war room after this one. McVay's not going to talk to him after this draft.
So we went forward defense, and then we flexed to offense, did four straight offense. Mm-hmm. And by the way, those last three picks were all A+. So good job, guys.
Right on.
And then we went back to defense. We got two picks left, 217 in the sixth and 254 in the seventh.
It's got to be the other MJD here. It's either the other MJD. Yep. That's my guy.
Paul loves MJ Devonshire, adding to that cornerback room. I think adding one of these two picks
I'm all about cornerback at this point. You know.
Now, if you guys don't know about MJ Devonshire, Paul's the expert, but I just see him as a super feisty, competitive cornerback. You just watch him play, and he's just, I don't know, man. He looks like he plays cornerback like Puka plays wide receiver. You know, just kind of angry is how I saw him.
I mean, hey, Devonshire, second team all ACC, led his team with 4 INTs, played in every game. I mean, at this point, we're looking for guys who can play football, right? And based off Paul's conviction, based off Mark's conviction, based off everything I just said right now, I'm in.
Okay, Devonshire is the pick.
Yeah.
And we only have one pick left, guys, and – you could go any way you want at this point. I know you're not on board for kicker, so we won't talk about it. we should potentially consider tight end. I don't know if we're going to get someone that can really make this team and contribute at tight end. Who knows? But we could right now. We could potentially be opening day have Davis Allen, Colby Parkinson, and a couple of guys on reserve futures contracts. Maybe that's good enough. Maybe that's fine.
Did we draft a cornerback?
We just drafted MJ Devonshire, cornerback.
Oh, Devonshire, yeah. We just drafted.
But I was referring to the tight end situation.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. None of these guys necessarily excite me. But I don't know much. I haven't dove this deep into the tight end group. So
Cope and Knox are big bodies, can block. Both are talented. Trey Knox is a beast, man, physically. The kid's a beast. But not the traditional, downfield. Both are developmental projects. Both are good players, though, definitely.
Maybe we should just look. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say look at the all running back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Proctor. So, the highest rated guys on the board for everybody. Yeah, we got
Blake there's Watson. Means. I think we go with Means.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
Two wide receivers. All right, look at that.
Love Means. I'm all in for Memes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to go Pittsburgh to end the draft in honor of Aaron Donald.
Yeah, that would be awesome, right?
But are you opposed to that, Ian?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, guys, I mean, the more wide receivers, the better because of all the reasons I stated earlier. Expiring contracts, health. I mean, he's a big dude.
That means we keep Trammell off the roster, right? So we get – one of these guys is going to get his spot.
So, look, can we really evaluate means, you know, with whatever quarterback play for Pittsburgh, right? The drop off was significant.
Horrendous.
And I just think based off that, based off the production that he was able to accomplish, why not take a chance? Because, hey, I believe in the Puka power picks.
So what if I took a moment to pound the table for the kicker there?
Which one?
Well, the Alabama kicker.
I'm just trying to start an
before
argument.
Before you pick for, him, just want to know, he went on record that he wants to get drafted by the 49ers. That's his favorite team.
I thought that was Josh Cardy. Is that Cardy?
Hardy. Yeah, you're right. It was record. Hardy. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
From Stanford.
Yeah, there was an article. I did not read it. I'm really good at reading headlines. And there was an article on one of the sports websites about analytics making a strong argument for never drafting a kicker. So maybe you're right after all, Paul.
No, we got to call those USFL guys, the XFL guys, all those whatever league is going on. Those dudes are bombing 50 yarders every week, it feels like. So we'll save the draft picks.
Didn't Reichard set the record though? Just interesting thing about this kicker. I think he set the record. Isn't he the NCAA record holder for field goals?
I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know.
He set some record this year. I remember everybody was going nuts at Bama for this kid. But I believe you never draft a kicker.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, so is Means way. The pick then?
Means it is.
So. Okay.
Two wide receivers in the latter rounds. There you go.
And there is our draft, and we got the edge rusher and two defensive linemen. I got to be thrilled with that.
Read them off one by one.
So at 19, we got Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA. At 52, Chris Jenkins, a defensive lineman out of Michigan. 83, the defensive lineman out of Clemson, Rook Ohorohoro. At 99, we got Cameron Kitchens, the safety out of Miami, to pair up with our other Cameron. Mm-hmm. At 154, we got Hunter Norzad, an interior offensive lineman out of Penn State, who provides depth at the three inside positions, really, right? At 155, Marquise Bucky Irving, right? That's what he goes by, running back out of Oregon. And at 196, more offensive line depth, Javon Foster, offensive tackle out of Missouri. And at 209, wide receiver Taj Washington out of USC. Keep him at home here. At 213, linebacker Jalen Ford out of Texas. At 217, we got the cornerback out of Pittsburgh, MJ Devonshire. And at 254, we got the wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, Bub Means. So
this is all to draw AD out of retirement. The last two picks, which
is draft.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Tom.
No, yeah. I just think, I mean, if this was our draft, I might go into cardiac arrest. I'd be so happy.
Yeah,
no, this would be phenomenal, no doubt. Shoot.
And there are going to be Ram fans that see this draft and are going to be clamoring for, why didn't we go wide receiver early? Why didn't we get our offensive tackle early? And that's fine. You know, I mean, you could do this. We could take another hack at this. We're not going to. We could take another hack. We've been taking all different hacks at this. All the examples are out there. Yeah. This is just another one.
And shoot, Mark, gentlemen, this isn't a scenario where there are no trades at all. We don't expect the Rams to be drafting straight up like this. That's probably more unrealistic than anything, right? But it all depends how that first round unfolds, and that'll determine everything of how they handle that trade up, trade down, acquire more picks, which we're in favor of here. But in a universe where there are no Rams trades, Les Snead is patient. If this happens, this is an A-plus all the way through.
And you could leave this intact and just circle Chris Jenkins and put in the X-Men. We all talked about it, right? The X-Men would make a lot of sense. Or if Keon Coleman, right? Ian and I have been talking about that. Casey and the Sunshine Band. If he falls down to the second round, which he probably will, right? And he's there. Yeah. So you could circle Chris Jenkins and put that wide receiver in there. It's just
Chris Hall's an option too. I like his film a ton.
It all depends on how aggressive the Rams want to be. Yeah, in the early rounds to get their wide receiver. There was a really nice article written up about Matthew Judon over at Patriots, that he's being cleared, that his injury, I think it was either shoulder or bicep, has healed up. He's going to be ready for camp as a possible trade offer for the Rams. Rams could get him. His contracts, I when I was looking at the numbers, man, it's not that bad. I mean, it's up there. It's up there. It's like 13 mil. But
he's a beast, though, man. I don't think Gerard Mayo's going to want to be his first year running the team, and he's not going to have their best defensive player with them. But yeah, I like him here, no doubt, man. That's a Pro Bowl level edge rusher, man. Shoot.
So there's a lot going on. The Rams are sitting, like I said, in my opinion, the Rams are sitting pretty at 19. Any direction they go in, they're going to come out ahead right now. And you know, all these mocks and everything else, these draft engines do not do a good job in the latter rounds. You can see a lot of these players that we're seeing at 240, and they're not going to be there at 240. These players are much better than that. They're going to be gone a lot sooner. But in the early rounds, they are in the ballpark, you know, particularly round one, of how some of these players are going to fall, and particularly the logjam at wide receiver, the logjam at quarterback in round one is definitely going to help the Rams. No question about it.
Yeah, all these things are. So, Paul, you and Mark have done, you know, extensive number of mock drafts, right? And so where does this one stack up?
I think this is a great one. You know, this is, you know, we have been standing pat for most of the mocks. You know, we move up a lot based on, you know, a lot of the fan requests. You know, they all said, can you, you know, see how this plays out, how that plays out. And that's when we usually do. But when we've been standing pat, the best results have been when the Rams trade back and when the Rams stay pat in the first round. That's when you get the best results. Yeah. When you trade back, we usually wind up getting an extra third and then maybe an extra sixth. But the Rams have so many picks. You could package those two. I've also played around with that 154, 155, packaging those two and jumping it down into like a 115, a 116 right after that 99. And then everything after that 196 down is depth, and getting like four or five legitimate possible immediate contributors.
I think it's the Rams are going to end up with a fourth round pick one way or another. They have to, really. And so I think if I was Les Snead, the strategy that I would prefer, again, it depends on what happens in front of you, is move back. And I talked about this last episode, I think last roundtable. Move back to accumulate a couple extra picks, but then move back up. So you end up with, maybe you don't have a first round pick, but you have five picks in the top 100 or 120, something like that. I still don't think, you know, trading back on the surface of it sounds great, but I don't think the Rams want to come out of this draft with another 14 players, though, is what I'm saying.
No need to.
Right. There's no need.
You want to get as many players in the top one, in my opinion, the top 125 as you could possibly get. And and that's where the Rams, you know, can really focus on specific players. There is not a lot of crazy depth in like we've been talking about. We saw that with wide receiver, right? After a certain number, it plummets. And you see that at particularly edge. After a certain number, it just drops off. So if the Rams like have their two or three favorite players they definitely want, which we won't know until draft day, right? And they earmark, that's what they usually do. They earmark the guys that they want and they go out and make sure that they get them. Nobody picked Kobe Turner. Nobody did. Right? That going that early to the Rams.
Wasn't on my radar.
Yeah, and Byron Young, the same thing. I mean, Byron Young was a good player, but you know, they made a special attempt to get him, made sure that they got him.
And so I barely knew who Ernest Jones was.
I just think in all reality, I mean, guys, during McVay and Les Snead's press conference, pre-draft press conference that happened earlier, you know, Sean, you know, there's a lot of joking around about how, you know, hey, he's going to have his first round pick be able to really truly utilize and how it's going to be offense. And he's like, yeah, I get excited about offensive players. But he's like, I get excited about defensive players too. But Les Snead immediately, you know, chimed in and said, well, players who score touchdowns are important in this league. I'd keep that in mind. So for everyone out there who was hoping for some type of pass catcher, playmaker, tight end or receiver.
Maybe it's, what's his name, Paul? Touchdown Maker Baker?
Oh, Javon Baker? I think that there's two things. The two things that stand out for me and why I think wide receivers in play. The one thing that this offense struggled with was number one in the red zone, right? And I think having that, this league is a copycat league, and watching all these guys with the, you know, going up and just, you know, jump balls, being able to win those contested catches, that is the name of the game right now. And the Rams don't necessarily, they have that with Puka, right? But like I said, they use him in motion, blocking and everything else. If they had that one young kid that they could say, listen, as you're learning your route running, when we get inside the 20, we're going to split you out there. We're going to throw it up there for you. I mean, Stafford would be grinning from ear to ear. Yeah. And I think that's what they're going to earmark. And the other thing is the Rams, McVay has been handcuffed. He has not been able, I've been saying it all month, he has not been able to go four wide with legitimate threats. Every time they went empty, Stafford almost got crushed. But if you got four legitimate receivers, right, and you got Iron Kyron, the way he pass blocks and his blitz pickup, you can do that. If they can go four wide in addition to their 11 package, they are going to be deadly. And I think that's where McVay's head is at. He wants to be able to go four wide. He wants to be able to threaten downfield. He wants Stafford to be able to get those chunk plays. Stafford loves to stand back there, man. He will throw it downfield. He does not care. So I think that's where McVay's head is at.
I mean, hey, look, they met with Ricky Pearsall. They met with Roman Dunze. They met with others in secret who we know that they did. And Les Snead's comments that I just mentioned, I mean, gentlemen, don't be shocked if those picks get packaged. I know Tom's probably like, no, we want this draft we just did to happen.
I and love I'm the favorite, draft.
But man,
Tom, remember when Tom was left to his own devices and he walked away with 28 picks? Remember that?
That's right. That's right. The more the merrier, man. I was so impressed with this last draft class that, you know, where we just brought in all these guys and all these, you know, next thing you know, you just end up with a couple of thirds and you end up with a, you know, obviously our second hit and our two thirds hit. And then we got a fifth that was a home run. And, you know, next thing you just start hitting these picks. And at some point in time, it's, you know, it is somewhat of a numbers game. So,
yeah.
And I'm not saying all those guys need to make the team like they did last year. 14 out of 14 made the 53. Like that was an all time record, tied for a record. But that's not the goal, right? We just needed so many players last year just to cut everybody. This year, that's not the case. But still, if you can just see who can play and get another five guys out of 11, 12, 13, whatever it is, that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah. No, I agree. And man, oh, man, I'm excited to see how this unfolds, gentlemen. I mean, man, oh, man. There's going to be people in the fan base who are going to be screaming in excitement in one way. And it's going to be the total pissed off, what are we doing, opposite way. No matter how this goes, right? We already know. Whether it's O-line, oh, my God, we have our starting unit. If it's wide receiver, we need defense. If it's defense, why aren't we getting more O-line to protect Stafford? You know, we can go all the different, you know, bubbles of branching off from this first-round pick and beyond. Oh, man, it's going to be fantastic to see. And, you know, come visit me at the draft house. I'll be here.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think the bottom line for me is I have a lot of faith in Les Snead, and we could do this all day long. And Les Snead's whatever path he goes, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, see how it plays out. But we know who we like anyways at this point.
Yeah, just all I ask, Les, if you're listening, I know you read Reddit, if you're watching the mock drafts on YouTube or, you know, as you're going to sleep with the podcast on Rams app, don't let any of your scouts jump in the pool after one of your picks. Okay.
Yeah, or
no more Logan Bruss celebrations.
Yeah.
I think they learned their lesson.
That was definitely a curse.
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah. We screwed ourselves big time. And Logan was a good player at Wisconsin. Let's, you know, it wasn't like this was some, and some scout that fought for some random player that nobody knew about, you know, it just didn't work out. And that's the beautiful, sad reality of all this, right?
Logan's still on the roster. Run is still on the roster, man.
No, I mean, hey, I mean, look, shout out to him for persevering. But, you know, from day one, we saw him in Horns suited up. It was bad. So we hope he turns it around. Yeah, but man, yeah. Oh man, we just hope we get another good lottery ticket scratch of all these players, right? And last year was great. Let's see if we can keep that train going to win another Super Bowl. But man,
I can't wait to buy the Sione Vaki jersey in
I hope it happens in a late round for you, my friend, because I'd love to see that grin never end next time we link.
Yeah, well, thanks to doing all these with Paul, I've never been more prepared for an NFL draft. I feel like half these guys I could talk about a little bit.
Yeah. Mark did all the heavy lifting. You know, he's the one that prepares everything, and then he sends me out the text, "Hey, you want to rock?" I'm like, "Sure, let's do it."
Yeah, nothing like a mock draft on a Saturday morning on my second coffee, man. What else could I be doing?
You're ready to go. Great.
Well, that was awesome, it was great guys. doing it with the whole crew today. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
I mean, that went. I mean, guys, that went as best and as great as it possibly could have. I mean, shoot.
And we passed on Dallas Turner.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, real quick, all these moves, we're trying to win the championship, everybody, in the next 2-3 years. We're trying to get guys who can contribute now. And I get it. You might. And share your thoughts in the comments. Please hit the like button. Please subscribe if you're on YouTube. And we want to hear from you. What grade do you give us? A, B, C? I better not see any D's and F's in this draft, by the way. But let us know, please, because I think this is an A draft at least.
Yeah. Hey, it's just like restaurant reviews. You know, the people that love their meal don't write reviews. It's just the naysayers, and that's kind of what you get on YouTube, unfortunately. Hey, guys, thanks a lot, man. This is fun. And just for your awareness, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything tomorrow night. I think we've posted enough. Thursday night, I may jump on and do an impromptu. I may even do a streaming bit or just a little recording. I know you guys may be busy, but if you see an invite, that's why. Jump on for 10 minutes if you want. Share your thoughts. If not, understood. But that's the plan for Thursday night. Hopefully, if the Rams make a pick, we'll talk about the pick. If they move back, we'll talk about what they're going to do in round two. Something like that.
Perfect.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks. That was awesome.
All right.
That was awesome.
Ramley forever.
Yes, Ramley forever. And if you're in L.A., I expect to see you at the draft party here at Hermosa Beach. Not too far away. It's not a super weekend. Traffic should be okay, everybody. Come out. Let's celebrate together for a great first round, no matter how it unshakes. It's going to be a blast. Come on. Get your butts out here, LA fans.
Well said. Well said. Okay, guys.
One more of these.
Yep.
One more of these.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Out here.
Peace.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is @larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.